So Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn your Bibles, we'll look at verses 1 through 8. And, I forgot to mention Father's Day, didn't I? Congratulations, fathers. I know that your children and your wives are going to spoil you today. Right? Children and wives. James says, yep, you're going to spoil your parents, your dad, right? Amen. Good. Brother Scott says, oh, I didn't know. But praise God for fathers. Amen. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here. And I hope you have an amazing Father's Day. You know, God's will is that all of us have the mind of Christ, which is what we're looking at this morning here in Philippians chapter 2. But especially God would want fathers to exhibit these traits in His family, in His home. Beginning in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So let this mind be in you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we go to your word this morning, I pray that you'd use it in our lives to refine us, to grow us, to teach us, Lord. I know that it's your desire that we be more like Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that that's exactly what you would instill in our hearts today, is how important it is that we have the mind of Christ. And so I pray, Lord, that this would be real for us. And Lord, it would be our heart's desire to be more like Jesus, and that you might conform us to his image. So may your will be done. May you be glorified in this service in every heart. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Paul starts off by explaining that the mind of Christ is possible for us as believers in Jesus Christ because of these four things that he mentions in verse 1. Firstly, he says that we have a consolation or encouragement from being with Jesus Christ, from being part of him. Then he says that we have the comfort from his love, which, of course, his comfort is unconditional, eternal, and we have the comforter indwelling us. Then he says we have the fellowship of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost who indwells us and makes it possible for us to live out the life of Christ in us. And then he says bowels and mercies, which again is produced by the Spirit for others. That's the fruit of the Spirit and why he gave us the gifts, so that we might touch others. And so God's desire is that we have the mind of Jesus Christ, that we think like he thinks. And then he uses Christ as an example to say, this is what I want in you. This is what God is trying to develop in us as his children. The Bible says that he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son in Romans 8:29. And so I want to walk through this passage this morning, and I want us to understand that this is what God wants in our lives. He says, let this mind be in you. This mind that we're understanding this morning, the mind of Jesus Christ, let it be in you. So verse 2, the first thing that God is asking for is unity. Notice he says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. God wants unity among his children. He wants Christians to get along and to agree that they're going the same direction and that they have the same beliefs and the same goals, which is to please Jesus Christ. One accord, one mind. In other words, unity with a single purpose. If you go back to John 17, I want to show you something. John 17 is what I refer to as the Lord's Prayer. I know a lot of people like to refer to the model prayer as the Lord's Prayer, but this is Jesus actually praying. in the upper room with his disciples. John 17 is Jesus' prayer for his disciples and for us. And as he was praying on our behalf here in John 17, notice in verse 22 he says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." That they may be one. Jesus wants brothers and sisters in Christ and the local church to be one. To be unified. The Apostle Paul had to write to the church at Corinth because they were the opposite of unified. They were full of division. And he wrote them in 1 Corinthians 1 and he says, "I want you all to speak the same thing. I want you to be unified in thought and in purpose and in your goals. I want you to have that like-mindedness of Christ." And I believe this is, as we looked in the book of Acts recently in our Sunday school class, this will be one of the signs of a Spirit-controlled church, is the church is like-minded. It's unified in spirit and in purpose. And that is part of having the mind of Christ. Now he also says here in verse 2 of Philippians 2, having the same love. So not only does the mind of Christ include being unified or like-minded, but it also includes, of course, the love of Jesus Christ. And that is the heart of Christianity, is it not? You know, Jesus told us in John 13, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." People often say, well, how's that new? He told us to love one another in the book of Deuteronomy. Well, it's new because he goes on to say, "As I have loved you." That's the new part. I want you to love each other as much as I love you. Well, that's a lot of love. And he says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." That's John 13, 34 and 35. "By this," he said. God wants us to have this love. Go to John 15 this time. Again, Jesus in the upper room talking to the disciples here. Actually, go to John 13 first. And this is the beginning of Christ's time in the upper room. And I want you to see what it says about Jesus' example of love here in verse 1 of John 13. The Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Isn't that beautiful? He loved them unto the end. That's talking about Jesus. And then over in chapter 15 of John, look at verse 9. Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Jesus was our example. And Paul is saying, I want you to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, this mind of a like-mindedness, of a single purpose, single direction, of why we're here, what we're doing here, why are we serving Jesus Christ, what is the goal? And then having the same love, the love of Jesus Christ, that's the love God wants us to have for one another. The Bible says, God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so if we're going to have the mind of Christ, the Bible says we're going to be like-minded, firstly. We're going to love one another. Notice verse 3 of Philippians 2. He goes on to say, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." If we're going to have the mind of Christ, it's not going to be self-centered. You know, strife is when we have our own self-seeking pursuits. Vainglory, of course, is when we consider ourselves better than others. The opposite of these things is, of course, peace, isn't it? And God wants us to have this forbearance for one another. If there's forbearance, there's no strife. That word forbearance basically means putting up with one another. And I know that that probably isn't a problem here because we all just think each other are just amazingly wonderful. And no, that doesn't work that way, does it? There has to be forbearance. And you know, Jesus was our example of forbearance. He put up with the disciples. Can you imagine? He put up with Peter and James and John. Peter, always putting his foot in his mouth. He put up with these guys for 3.5 years, showing the kind of forbearance that he wants us to have for one another. Look at Moses. You talk about forbearance. He had to put up with a couple of million ratbacks that didn't like him and didn't want to put up with his leadership. And then the second he's away, they're like, oh, we can't survive without Moses. Let's make a golden calf. Forbearance. Putting up with one another, the opposite of strife and vainglory. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That is Christianity. Because the opposite is what we see today. The Bible says in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that men will be lovers of their own selves. Which is exactly what leads to strife and vainglory. And so, if we're going to have the mind of Jesus Christ, we're going to have a mind of like-mindedness, of love, of forbearance. And then in also verse 3, he says, in lowliness of mind. It's amazing to me, and I'm sure to you as well, that the Creator of the universe spent 30-some years on earth in complete humility. When yet he was everything. He was perfect. He was righteous. He was holy. He was God. And yet he spent that time being an example of lowliness and humility. It's quite fascinating to think about it. He didn't show up and say, I'm the king, worship me. Instead, he everything about his demeanor was about humility. And that's what the Bible says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Go to Matthew 11. Jesus talked about this, talking about himself here in Matthew 11. And if we're going to have the mind of Christ, it's not only going to be like-mindedness, love, and forbearance, but it's going to be humility. Matthew 11, look at verse 29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So Jesus, speaking of himself, he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Isn't it amazing that the Creator chose to be meek and lowly in heart? But he was doing that to teach us what he wanted from us. And all through the Scriptures, how many times are we told to be humble? How much God hates pride. All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. A couple of examples. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. If you would, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then look at 1 Peter 5, 5. Give you another example. 1 Peter 5, 5. The Bible says, yea, and all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humility is an attitude. And God wants us to have that kind of an attitude. Of not putting self first, but as it says there, esteeming other better than themselves. That's true humility, true lowliness of mind. And if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have the mind of humility. But then one of the key traits of this passage of talking about Jesus is in verse 4 and onward, where it talks about an attitude of servanthood. Notice it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Again, our Creator chose to serve his creation. How fascinating is that? And there in John 13, we read verse 1 where it says he loved them unto the end. Right after that verse is when Jesus Christ girded himself with a towel and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, I've given you an example. I want you to follow it. God says, I want you to have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? I want you to have this mind of servanthood, of total unselfishness, as it says in verse 3. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Having the attitude of a servant. Look at Romans chapter 15, if you would. Talking about Jesus Christ and His servant's heart. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches in them that reproach thee fell on me. In Luke 22, Jesus said, whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. And often Jesus made statements like that. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. In Matthew 23. And so Jesus Christ came to be an example of complete servanthood. As it says there in verse 7, he took upon him the form of a servant. And if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have an attitude of servanthood. I am here to serve others. Now that's what the mind of Christ means. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 2, he that saith he abideth in him and on himself also, so to walk, even as he walked. That's God's desire, that we walk like Jesus, that we think like Jesus. And Paul here is saying, if you're going to think like Jesus, this is how you're going to think. Like-minded, love one another, forbearing one another, humility, servanthood. But lastly, verse 8, Philippians 2, being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That word that most people don't want to hear, submission. An attitude of submission. That was Jesus. He cried to the Father there in the garden, did he not? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. His flesh knew what was coming. It was going to be painful and terrible and humiliating. And he had the power to stop it. But he knew he had to go through it for one reason, us. That's it. And he was willing to submit himself to that pain, that suffering, that humiliation, that we could be saved. As it says there, even the death of the cross. The ultimate act of submission on behalf of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want this mind to be in you that was in Jesus Christ. This mind of submission. Being willing to just obey God and live a life of obedience. The Bible says, submit yourselves, James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves. Jesus Christ was that example when he got on his knees. And the Bible says he prayed and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, if there's just some other way that man could be redeemed, that I don't have to be stabbed and punched and humiliated and mocked. But he knew there was no other way. But he knew as a human what he was about to face. But as God, he knew that there was no option. He had to go through it for us to be redeemed. And he did. The ultimate act of submission. Paul says, I want you to have that mind. Verse 5, let this mind be in you. This mind of like-mindedness, of love, of forbearance, of humility, of being willing to serve one another, and ultimately, the mind of submission. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, this is what God's trying to work out in our lives. And he's going to use the Word. He's going to use the Holy Spirit. He's going to use trials. He's going to use others. He's going to use all these other things that he brings into our life to slowly but surely conform and mold us to be more like Jesus. And this is what he wants. He wants us to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you.